Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk radio.
It's time for Bookworm. This is the show for avid readers and those that should be avid readers on the Voice America Kids channel. Now, here's your host.
Thank you. Welcome back to the program Bookworm on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Christopher Froelich, and our show and topic today is The Tiger's Apprentice by Yep. Everyone's been very familiar with Yep if you've been listening to my past couple shows. I hope you've really been enjoying it. So we're going to continue. We're on page, if you have the book with you, which I highly recommend because it's a fantastic book and I enjoy it myself. So if I enjoy it, you have to enjoy it. And we're on page 116, 117-ish. We're almost there, and we've just gotten out of the building. And Ravi has been now turned sides, kind of, but not really. The Havern captured, but she's really not putting much up a fight because she's been disappointed in how Luz treated her and left her for dead with them in the house. So now they're going to go attack Vatten, the evil sorcerer himself, and who gains power by water. And we're going to just pick up where we left off. All right, so here we are on page 116. "He'll be last," Minstrel said with an admiring nod. "There isn't much time before the ceiling will come down against the floor," Monkey said. "It took such a long time casting spells on all these hounds." At the moment, all the fight was out of their enemies. They sat on their haunches on the beach, panting. "Change," Monkey said, and he suddenly grew as large as a giant. Tom had an anxious moment before he finally saw the tiger's head break the surface. Somehow, the determined tiger's head broke the surface, and the tiger kept hold of his hat as well. "You made it," Tom said, the boy said, and greeting the guardian at the surface. He was so glad and almost hugged the tiger, but Mr. Huss started to shake himself dry. Though his suit had stayed dry because of a special wool, his fur had not, and he sprayed water all over.
"Of course I did," Mr. Huss said, "and if he did this every day."
When Tiger changed himself back to a full size, the dragon began to hop up and down on the beach.
"Change me next before the ape steps on me.
Monkey slapped a paw on his forehead. "I was so busy worrying about the tiger I had forgot. A lizard like you would make a nice pet." He was just starting to reach for Minstrel when the dragon suddenly swelled up to her normal size.
"You were saying?"
she asked while she was smiling and showed an alarming number of teeth. Monkey backed off.
"You make an even better friend."
"I am not now or ever will be a friend of a furball like you," Minstrel said. Mr. Ha, in the meantime, was busy restoring Tom to his regular size.
"What about Ravi?" Tom asked.
"Unfortunately, she will have to remain a prisoner with the hounds," the tiger said, finishing out what looked like a green lump of gum from his pocket.
"But she told me where Vatten, what he was planning."
He's going to force the egg to hatch early, and she's going to tell you where he let, and she said she wanted to let go.
Mr. Ha kneaded over the gum between his claws, and he considered the offer, but finally he shook his head.
"She's lied to you twice. Why should we trust her a third time?"
"I have no reason to love Vatten now. Neither do the hounds," Ravi's voice came up with them, thin and shrill. "He abandoned us to die."
"I promise you that you will feel no pain, only sleep and dreams of pleasant things," Mr. Huss said. Tom wanted to believe she could change.
"Please don't do this to her."
"A guardian must sometimes make difficult decisions," Mr. Huss said, breathing on a lump.
Tom planted a fist in his hips. "This is another one of your rules."
"Not mine, but your grandmother's. Why do you think she stayed behind?" Mr. Huss asked, and strode over to the dogs, who swirled around anxiously and restless, red pools pressing against the wall of tiny monkeys that now trapped them.
Muttering a spell and making signs with his free paw, Mr. Hur held up a green lump over them. The red dots rose into the air, yelping and wailing, and were drawn into a lump. Tom squinted, trying to see Ravi, but there were too many of the dogs, and all there was left was a lump, hardened into a green rock, which Mr. Hur had now dropped into a coat pocket. All right, now we're on chapter 9. That's it for chapter 8. So let's continue. The dragon seemed to have gathered new energy after being in the ocean. She was as frisky as a giant kitten. "Careful, monkey," said, holding up a paw before his eyes. "You're getting sand everywhere." "I can't help it," Minstrel cried excitedly. "The swim has renewed me." She gazed towards the horizon. "I wish I could see the coral palace of the underwater kingdom again, and the fire gardens at sunset." Her eyes narrowed as if she were trying hard to glimpse at them. The water overhead turns to red, and the garden itself glows like living flames and dances in the singing to the pipefish. And the pipefish rise in schools that glitter like rainbows and clouds. "You miss the ocean that much?" Tom asked sympathetically. "The ache grows with every year," Minstrel said, gazing longingly at the sea. In contrast, Mr. Ho was feeling the effects of working so many spells. The elderly tiger sat up the slump, with barely enough energy to raise a paw.
"Well, not all of us are waterproof. Some of us of that vigor have help us get a fire going."
Minstrel glanced at the shivering boy. "Yes, of course." She swept the driftwood on the beach into a big pile with her tail and her paws.
"I'll go and try to find some firewood, too," yelled Mr. Hub.
"You don't want to go looking out like that," Minstrel said, and she said that to the monkey who was about to go. "Your tail looks like a rat."
"Better than having one that looks like a snake," Monkey said, waving his bland pink tip of his tail at the dragon. "And I was going to go out in disguise anyway."
Once he had restored the hairs to his tail, he transformed himself and hiked up the path that zigzagged up in the cliff face and disappeared from sight. When Minstrel had piled enough wood together, the tiger knelt with a muttered a spell and soon had a bonfire going. The dragon, feeling in an obliging mood for once, stretched her body out and lay down so her long body ached as a windbreak for others. Tom could see how scared and dented her scales were.
"You've led a hard life, haven't you?" he asked. "No more than her," Minstrel said. "And Monkey," Mr. Ho reminded the dragon gently. "He's been an outlaw as much as you have, and that ought to give you something in common."
Minstrel narrowed her eyes. "Insult me that way one more time, huh, and I'll leave you." "What did Monkey do to become an outlaw?" Tom asked. "The ape's pride would dwarf the sun," Minstrel said. "He actually challenged heaven."
"And was punished for it," Mr. Huss said.
Taking off his coat, he began to roll up his sleeves and he explained.
"He was buried alive under an entire mountain."
"Which neither crushed his pride or himself," Minstrel complained.
"His pride was all he had while he was in prison," Mr. Hart argued.
Taking a small jar from his coat pocket, he unscrewed the lid and began to rub an ugly brown ointment on his elbows and wrists. "Let me do that," Tom said, going over to him. As Tom rubbed the tiger's fur, he said, "I used to do this same thing for Grandma." Please, the tiger laid down on all fours while the body propped and rubbed. The guardian's muscles were different from a human's, so Tom could not be sure he was doing a good job until he heard Mr. Hub begin to purr, rumbling like a truck. When Tom was finished, the guardian stretched out on the sand to rest and regain his strength, telling his temporary apprentice how Monkey had led the other apes into a rebellion against Heaven itself. At first, Heaven had tried to buy his loyalty by offering him a minor post. However, Monkey stole some peaches that granted immortality and then wrecked a banquet which he had not been invited to. Of course, a heavenly host flew down to punish him, but Monkey held his own until the Flower Lord, a strange, terrible wizard, captured him.
"So he's immortal?" Tom asked.
During the rectal of Monkey's adventures, Minstrel had closed her eyes and pretended extreme indifference, but she grumbled now. "He may be immortal. Even so, he's still lost a step or two." The tiger had taken the ointment back from Tom, and now he rolled up his pant legs and began applying it to his knees.
"Hush! There he comes,"
Mr. Huss said as Monkey returned. When Monkey slogged back across the sand towards them, he wrinkled his nose.
"Phew! Is that stink you, huh?" "My joints get a little stiff," Mr. Huss huffed, screwing the lid back on the jar, "and it's good for that."
"Only old grandfathers use that dreadful stuff," Minstrel teased, but she sobered up quickly enough when Monkey told them that he had lost Lou's trail once and reached the streets.
What do we do? Mincer wondered. Where does Vatten plan a force to launch the Phoenix to hatch? Moki settled down beside them. I think that girl must have been lying. We have plenty of time to find the egg. But if she wasn't, Mincer said grimly, Vatten will wreak havoc even sooner than we thought.
I think we have to assume the worst, Mr. Huss said. Which means we have to get the egg back before Vatten can carry out his plans.
Maybe you should bring the girl out again and accept her bargain, Monkey suggested.
I don't trust her, Mr. Huss said, with a firm shake of his head.
Mistral was alternately scooping sand into the shape of a loo and pounding it flat. Wherever Vatten is, he must be near water. But we not only have the ocean on this side of San Francisco, we also have the bay on the other. This is it, a wide area to search if you include the coastline. Suddenly, they heard a faint humming noise from overhead.
All right, guys, I know it's getting good, but let's take a break. I'm Christopher Froelich, and keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Stay connected. Sign up for our newsletter. Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com. Kids these days are so connected to the media that they can't help but be surrounded by news and politics. Today's kids get more information than kids of past generations, and because of that, they have more informed opinions. Kids today may not be able to vote yet, but they can certainly influence voters and issues with their voices. Tune in every week for America Today and talk about the issues and influence the decision makers. America Today airs every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Now there's a new destination for video content, VoiceAmerica.tv, just like our radio channels and so much more. Voice America Variety, Health and Wellness, Business, Sports, Green Talk, Power Up Motorsports, and Seventh Wave Network now have their own video channel components. Plus, check out exclusive programming, including movies, music, educational courses, science and history, current events, and short features. High-definition, premier-quality programs available 24/7. VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Behind the Line is all about the inside of sports from a kid's point of view. This is a look at all of the action from behind the line. Join your host every Wednesday at 3 p.m., whether you're a kid or was a kid at some time in your life. We'll run down all of the scores, talk about the games of the past week, and preview what's coming up in the next week. You'll want to take notes because this is good stuff. The place to be Wednesdays at 3, that's 6 p.m. Eastern, is the Voice America Kids channel for Behind the Line. Want to laugh yourself silly over the crazy happenings of the celeb world and beyond? Tune in to Behind the Mask on Voice America Kids. Your hosts will uncover the celebrities you know and love, along with some that you might not know in this country, but they are admired across the world. But it's not just the famous that need to look out. We'll look inside the music biz, stage, and of course, the big screen. Listen to Behind the Mask every Thursday at 8 p.m. on Broadway and 5 p.m. Hollywood side on the Voice America Kids channel.
Book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now back to our show.
And thank you. Welcome back to the program, Bookworm on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Christopher Froelich, and we're still on, yep, you've just heard, we've just gotten to page 124, and we're going to keep going. Quick side note, guys, if you'd like to email the show, send it to voiceamericakids@yahoo.com. Make sure you mention my name, Christopher Froelich, mention the name of the show, which is, yeah, that's right, Bookworm. And if you have any questions, just email us. We can mention you on the air. We'd really appreciate hearing some of you guys out there. If you got scripts, plays, things like that, we'll read them on here. I'll bring you in for an interview if you tell me what you want me to talk about with you and stuff. I mean, we're not too desperate, but, you know, I'm just saying we'd really appreciate hearing from you guys. I just want to, like, yeah. Let your voices heard as much as you hear mine, and I know how mine's fantastic, but I'd like to hear some of your fantastic voices as well. So, that's all. Remember, it's voiceamericakids@yahoo.com. Make sure you mention my name, that's Chris Froelich, and mention the name of the show, which is Bookworm. Yeah, see, there you go. Bookworm. Thank you. All right, let's continue. I think we were just over here. There we are. Yep. I don't trust her, Mr. Host said with a firm shake of his head. Mitchell was
alternately scooping sand in the shape of Lou and pounding it flat. Wherever Vatten is, he must be near water. But we not only have the ocean on this side of the San Francisco, we also have the bay on the other. This is a wide area to search if you include the coastline. Suddenly, they heard a faint humming noise from overhead.
"Well now, Mr. H," Sidney called out from above. "Just look at all the kind of trouble you've gotten yourself into, my partner."
The tiger glared up and round at the round rat he had slowly descended from the sky.
"You? How did you escape? I tied you up myself."
Sidney chuckled. "I guess you didn't know rats can squeeze their bones close together. That's how we can get through cracks and holes. As far for the vault, well, that kind of is a designed to keep people out, not in." He patted parts of his fur, and Tom heard a distinct clink. "And when you've got the tools and know-how, it's no problem. But I can fix that vault so no one can get out. I'll give you a break on a price, too."
Mr. House swatted at the rat with his hat. "So you've come to gloat."
Sidney easily evaded the tiger and settled in on the beach.
"No, to help. You're my partner, Mr. H. I knew you were just pretending to be mean. You were worried about me, so you used that as your excuse to leave me behind. But I figured out I'd be better at keeping an eye on you, so I've been flying along above you this whole time."
Mr. Hud jumped erect on his hind paws. "You knew we were in trouble and didn't help us?"
"Between the ape and the dragon and you, I knew you'd get out," Sidney said, as he defaulted his fur.
Monkey nodded at the boy. "Actually, it was Tom who got us out."
"Don't tell,"
Sidney said, eyeing him. "And he looks so harmless. Well, I followed the guy with the umbrella."
Mr. Hud demanded impatiently, "Where did Lou go?"
Sidney flicked a paw towards the east.
"Do you know the big freshwater lake in the park?"
"Stowe Lake? Sure," Tom said.
"There's a hill in the middle of the lake. He went inside there," Sidney said.
Mr. rose in a cascade of sand. "Then, that has to be where Vatten is as well. Clever. He's surrounded by water. I would have wasted my time searching along the salt water rather than looking for bodies of fresh water in the city."
"And that's where we're going next," Sidney settled to the tiger and nudging him in the elbow. "Right, partner?"
Poor Mr. Hush shrugged with himself before he said through his gritting teeth,
"Yes, Sidney."
Mistral twisted her long neck to stare at the ocean one last time and sighed. "It's hard to leave the sea after having just a taste of it."
"Can't you come back when it's over?" Tom asked.
The dragon twisted up one corner of her mouth. "I think this might be my last battle. But even if I survive, I couldn't return here. I could not resist the temptation to return to the kingdom if I came to this beach again. And that would lead to my death more surely than even Vatten's lair will. If I would coast my life to set paw in the dragon kingdom, even swimming out of the mansion was a risk."
"Oh, now, don't start comparing your funeral chant with you. You'll be here for days. There's nothing like a dragon when it comes to dying," Monkey shrank himself, his staff to the size of a toothpick. "And in the meantime, Vatten will be doing whatever he wants to the phoenix."
Minstrel still seemed convinced that this was her final fight. She cleaned her throat.
"Perhaps the boy shouldn't go with us this time." After tangling with the Clan of Nine at the mansion, Tom was not sure he wanted to meet the master himself.
"But you're going to go. Aren't you scared?" Tom asked. "The dragons and the others."
"Of course," Mr. Hug grunted. "Only a fool would pretend not to be, and I'm no fool."
"And yet," Monkey chuckled as he tucked his staff behind his ears, "only fools would challenge Vatten and his forces."
Minstrel took one last long, hard look at the ocean home. "Some would even call it suicide, which is why the boy shouldn't accompany us."
"Yes," Mr. Hug said thoughtfully. "Perhaps he shouldn't."
Tom scratched his forehead.
"Back at Grandmom's, you warned me not to take on a fight when the odds are against me. So why are you going after Vatten? You admit he's probably stronger than you."
Mr. Huss stroked the fur about his jewels.
"You have a very inconvenient memory, an annoying habit of tossing someone's words back at him." The tiger smiled gently. "I guess that's because there's no one else to save the phoenix."
Tom darted at the elderly tiger. But you're stiff all the time, and you hurt in your back, and you exert yourself. You're too old to fight. He glanced at the ape, and then he stared at the dragon. All of you are.
Well now, Monkey began to protest.
Be honest with yourself for once, Monkey, Minstrel said. We're all getting on in the years.
Speak for yourself, Lizard, Monkey paused, and then scratched his head.
But, he admitted, after all these years of wandering and fighting, I thought I'd have more to show for them.
So you're tired as well, Minstrel grunted.
Dragon, tiger, and ape stared at the fire as if they were seeing their own lives in the flames, all the endless battles and travels. Tom felt as if he had said some wrong words, as usual. Even if it was true, it had been mean to remind them. I'm sorry. I should have kept my mouth shut. Finally, Mr. Hoa made one last adjustment to his tie.
Well, he said with a dignified nod, if this is to be my last lesson to you, Master Thomas, let it be this. True courage is doing what you know must be done.
Mikey could see how bad the boy felt and reached over to pat his knee.
Don't have such a long face, Tom. This is all that rascals like us deserve.
Minstrel suddenly lifted her long neck and laughed ironically.
Hatchling, learn from us. Don't spend your lives seeking trouble, for you surely will find it.
Mr. Hug grinned crookedly.
I'm afraid it's too late for us to mend our ways, but a cub like you still can.
Tom stared at the tiger whose quiet courage reminded him of his grandmother's as she had stood in the parlor preparing to make her last stand. The ape and the dragon, too, had the same determined air. He felt his heart bristling with pride for three old warriors. He couldn't hide while they went into the danger. His Adam's apple felt as big as a melon when he swallowed and said,
I don't know how much help I'll be, but I'm going to.
Tom touched the pouch hanging inside his shirt, but now the gesture felt natural.
This charm kept the hounds away from me.
They were only minor threats. It will not protect you against Lou or any of the greater beasts that are likely to be guarding the egg, Mr. Huss said.
Tom never thought he would have to justify risking his life.
But I found the escape route, didn't I? I can help a little.
It's still foolhardy to let him come with us, Monkey said, to the others with a shake of his head.
I know the way to Stowe Lake, Tom insisted. I'll get there on my own, then.
Mr. Hur folded his forelegs.
Your mind is set, isn't it?
You can't keep me away, Tom said indefinitely.
You have your grandmother's stubbornness, I see. If not her good sense.
Mr. Hur regarded himself almost affectionately.
Well, though I would wish otherwise, I think your destiny still lies with ours.
The tiger turned to the rat.
But I don't know about yours, Sydney. You should feel free to leave us.
The rat had haunched down, looking at miserable.
But you're my partner, Mr. H. I can't just leave you in a lurch.
The tiger gently patted the rat on the back.
You've done enough, Sydney. Now go.
The rat hesitated, as if he were tempted, and then shrugged glumly.
No. I'll stick by with you at the end.
So it's one phoenix rescue coming up, Monkey said, cheerfully. Or one large funeral, Sydney grunted. Hey guys, let's take a break. I'm Christopher Froelich. Better keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Do you believe in the supernatural? Well, some do and some don't, which is why Beyond the Third Dimension looks at both sides. You have one host who believes in ghosts, while the other can't think of anything more ridiculous. Put them together and you get some great discussion and some real discoveries and exploration of the paranormal, and then some. Tune in to Beyond the Third Dimension, airing Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. And try not to be afraid of things that go bump in the night.
follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN. The Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media. Can you keep up? Kids face very tough and very real issues every single day. It can be bad. It can be ugly. Now there's something good that can help. Tune in to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll discuss the issues and provide solutions and connections to solutions that you will be able to use. Our show goes right to the heart of today's kids and beyond. Your parents will probably want to listen in too. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly airs Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern on Voice America Kids. You just love your pets. But sometimes they can get to be a handful. And just when you think you have them under control, that's when things get, well, crazy. For help, tune in to Paws Around the World. You'll get the inside secrets on keeping your pet the friend it's supposed to be, along with stories to keep you warm and fuzzy. Listen Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk radio.
Put that book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now back to our show.
Welcome back to the program, Bookworm on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Christopher Froelich, and our topic today is, yep, we're on chapter 10 on page 130 if you're following along at home with your own book because you bought it because you like my show and the stuff on the book, or you're not and you're just listening and you enjoy my voice, which is fantastic too. So let's continue on. Stowe Lake lay in the middle of the Golden Gate Park on top of the hill. With Monkey, Mr. Hutt, and Minstrel disguised as humans, they made their way carefully along a path through the trees until they came to the road that encircled the broad lake. There were bushes and small strips of lawn by the water's edge. Ducks and mud hens floated on the surface, making a meal for the small fish that lived in the lake. This late in the day, there were no rental boats out and no pedestrians. From the lake rose an island with waterfall that ran down its hilly slopes, passing an ornate pavilion before it emptied into a surrounding water. Zigzagging carefully through the trees, Sidney found them there. When he had dropped down beside them, he pointed toward a tall column of spray that fell down the hillside. "I saw someone go behind there, so that must be an entrance," he said in a low voice. "And there's a sentry on top of the hill."
"Did they see you?" Mr. Hutt asked.
Sidney chuckled. "They saw me sell half a dozen golf balls to the last group of tourists."
"If someone could distract the sentry, I could sneak up over him," Monkey suggested.
Sidney and I can do that, yeah," Tom offered, and the tiger fretted for a moment but gave in.
"All right. But be careful. We're close to Vatten's lair. I can feel it."
Tom crossed the street following the pedestrian path across the stone bridge that spanned to the lake and to the island. He loitered, pretending to watch the swans swim by. As they had arranged, Sidney followed him.
"Hey, kid, want some oven mitts for your mom?"
He had actually produced a pink pair of somewhere inside his fur of oven mitts and was waving them around.
"No, go away," Tom said.
The more the rat persisted, the angrier Tom pretended to become until Sidney muttered, "Sorry, kid, but we gotta make this look good." And the rat definitely kicked him in the shin.
"Have it your way," Tom said. Irritated from real now, he dived on the rat. Though the boy was larger and the rat was more agile and more experienced from dodging so many irritated customers.
Tom had just eaten a mouthful of soil when Monkey strolled down to them. Looking very satisfied with himself,
"Well done," he said. The sentry was gone.
"Thank you," Tom said, spitting out some grass. While Tom and Sidney dusted themselves off, Mr. Hutt and Minster crossed to them.
"You're going to need a thorough cleanup when we get home,"
Mr. Huss said as Tom wiped the dirt from his eyes. Sidney began to search for his fur.
Now I've got some soap that is guaranteed to...
He stopped when he saw Mr. Huss' expression. But maybe later. They climbed in the crumbly earth of the slope and then moved along the hillside. Monkey and Mr. Ha had not troubled, but Tom, the heavier dragon, slipped and slid. The point is to surprise them, the exasperated tiger whispered to them. They managed to make the waterfall without incident. Tom could see where the stream splashed on the blocks below, sending up sprays like rain. The water looked like a foamy white curtain. Mr. Ha crouched, placing a hand on the ground.
This is a place of power. I can feel a channel of energy flowing under here.
But my grandmom said this place was built in the 30s. It was part of a public works project, Tom said. The guardian seemed amused.
That's what's on the surface. But in beneath here, you humans may have built your toy above the chi line, but it still flows strong and powerful wherever you may do it.
The tiger took in a deep breath of the damp air.
And this place stinks of Vatten's magic, too, he growled softly.
We have to get the rose back, Tom said grimly. Besides, he had my grandmother killed. I want to pay him back. We all do, Minstrel groaned dangerously. Dragon, ape, and tiger changed back into their true forms. I'll lead. Monkey grinned and he raised his staff.
Remember, the egg first, then revenge, Mr. Huh cautioned.
Of course, Monkey said absently. Taking a breath, he stepped into the waterfall and disappeared.
Minstrel, try to keep him from doing anything foolish, Mr. Hun nodded to the dragon.
I'll try, but it's a full-time job. Minstrel thrust her head into the water, and Tom watched the dragon's body vanish. Mr. Hun eyed the waterfall with distaste, muttering,
Water is so wet.
But he leaped after the others. Tom felt that as Mr. Ho's temporary apprentice, he should go next. So he took a step forward and almost tripped when Sidney grabbed his leg.
Mind if I snag a ride?
Before Tom could object, the rat had climbed up his pants and wrapped around his stomach, using one paw to hold the flaps of Tom's jacket over himself.
After all, no sense two of us getting soggy now.
Get out of there, Tom tried to open his jacket again and shove Sidney off. But the rat held both flaps firmly shut.
Don't forget to zipper it, Sidney said.
Deciding that there was no time to rid himself of the rat, Tom pulled up the zipper.
Ouch, Sidney complained. Watch the fur, fella.
Beggars can't be choosers, Tom said, and zipped up the jacket all the way, looking regretfully at the huge bulge beneath his jacket. He wanted to try to make an entrance as heroic as monkeys and minstrels, but it no longer seemed likely. Holding his breath, he stepped forward. Instantly, the water pounded on him, buckling his knees. Instinctively, he opened his mouth to gasp and took in more water. He entered Vatten's lair, coughing and spurting rather than the brave way he had wanted. And when he almost slipped on the slimy stone, a paw clamped over his mouth.
Quiet, Mr. Huss said, whispering in the dragon and Tom deeper into the tunnel.
It was about 10 feet high and wide and rough-hewn. And a torch gutted and burned, casting more smoke than light. The air smelled stagnant, and the stone floor was covered with slippery green algae. Slimy steps led downward into the darkness. Minstrel crouched with one paw firmly on the shoulder of the ape, who seemed eager to be off. A blue lizard with daggered long claws lay unconscious by his feet. As Tom bent over, coughing into the guardian's paw, Sidney began to squirm.
Hey, let me out!
The boy pulled down the zipper again, and the rat dropped to the floor.
Thanks for the ride.
He padded over to the lizard and began searching him for loot.
This was the guy that was asking for you at first, Mr. Huh?
Tom whipped some of the water from his eyes and stared at the damp, green-covered cave. This looks older than the 30s, he mumbled.
This hill was built over something far more ancient, Monkey said, and Mr. Huh said at the same time, touching a wall, damp algae, and a waterfall spray.
Mr. Ho took his paw away from Tom's mouth.
Are you all right? He asked Tom.
But Sidney piped up.
Just fine, partner.
Mr. Ho frowned and touched Tom on the shoulder.
And you?
When Tom nodded, Mr. Ho glanced at the lizard thoughtfully.
There should have been more guards here.
Minstrel kept her eyes ahead.
Maybe Vatten sacrificed them to the mansion.
The only way to find out is to go on, Mr. Host said, adjusting his tie and giving a quick brush to his fur. As Monkey sprang forward with his staff ready, and the dragon yanked on the rat's tail. You too, Sydney, she said. We've come for the egg and nothing else. She slapped the rat's paws, and he dropped what he had taken from the lizard. It wasn't very good anyway, Sydney rumbled his paws clean. Vatten must pay cheap. They followed Monkey cautiously down the steps, which grew increasingly slipperier. Tom had made sure that he was the elderly tiger so he could help him. But Mr. Ho's hind paws managed the steps better than his own shod feet. The deeper they went, the narrower the passage grew. As the stairway bent sharply to the right, Lou sprang into their path.
The phoenix is only for Lord Vatten, not for the likes of you, he shouted.
I'll show you who's a buffoon, Monkey said, raising his staff. He still rankled from the insult Lou had thrown at him in the mansion.
You should have been more cooperative and died back at the mansion, Lou said petulantly. Now I'll have to give you a more painful end, and he began to open his umbrella.
As whiffs of green mist began to rise from it, Mr. Hug clamped a paw over Tom's mouth.
Don't breathe in the vapors or you'll get sick.
Don't worry, Monkey said, and began to twirl his staff faster and faster until it was a blur like a propeller. Watch this, dragon, he called out proudly over his shoulder. The green cloud blew back after Lou, who began to cough. Let's take a break, guys. I'm Christopher Froelich. I know you're antsy to hear some more, but let's keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids. We'll be right back.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
The Terrence Rogers Show will take the world by storm. The topics are sometimes newsworthy, sometimes personal, as we explore fashion, entertainment, art, and more. Host Terrence Rogers has seen a lot of life experience in his few years of life. It's this experience that allows him to bring a fresh perspective to the table, and he holds nothing back. Tune in to The Terrence Rogers Show every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. You'll laugh, cry, and most importantly, this show will reach out and touch your life.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
What is Take Two? Take two crazy hosts, put them in front of two microphones, and use your two ears to enjoy the fun. Times two. Take Two. We'll go back, way back to the favorite TV shows of our childhood. Your parents' childhood. No.
Try again, Chris. Take two.
We'll take you back to the favorite TV shows of our generation, past and present, and apply them to what's going on in our own lives. Trust us, it'll be a blast. Tune in to Take Two every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. There is so much going on in the tech field. The Technology Show is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to The Technology Show, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America Kids. What are some of the issues that kids face every day? You'll find out when you tune into the appropriately named Today's Kids. Your hosts are here to open the doors to a forum of all kinds of issues. Nothing is off the table here, and because it's on the Voice America Kids channel, you know you're getting a kid's perspective. Tune in every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Today's Kids. Your hosts will lead this forum of engaging conversation on Voice America Kids.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network?
make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected.
Put that book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now back to our show.
Thank you. Welcome back to the program Bookworm on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Christopher Froelich, and you are listening to my voice, of course. And we're talking about The Tiger's Apprentice. That is our subject here today, and we're still reading. And we're on page 136 if you have a book at home. Quick side note. Love my side notes. If you like to email the show, send it to voiceamericakids@yahoo.com. That's voiceamericakids@yahoo.com. We'd really like to hear about you guys. Please make sure you mention my name. I've gotten a few of you that have not mentioned my name, and quite frankly, we haven't read them because we don't know who you're talking about and what show you want to do, and that just shows up as junk. I mean, we appreciate it, and we might email you back, but we just need to know. You need to mention my name and mention the name of the show. Please, please, please mention the name of the show. That is Bookworm. You're right. See? We remembered. Good. And make sure you mention my name. That's Christopher Froelich. And we'll answer some questions if you have any about the show. We'd love to bring you up here, down here, sideways to here, wherever you're at. And we can answer anything on the air. We can get you on Skype. We can get you on anything. We're magicians. That's all you need to know. So please just send us some stuff. We really like to hear from you. So, without me keep continuing about some other stuff, let's go back to the book. Alrighty, we were just over at page 136. Let's begin. They're fighting Lou. The green cloud blew back around Lou, who began to cough. "How do you like your own medicine, monkey crowd?" Still whirling his staff, he charged forward. Choking, Lou tried to back up, but he was too slow, and Monkey's staff shattered the umbrella, sending the bamboo sticks and paper flying. Instantly, the green vapor vanished. With a snarl, Lou wrenched his slim sword from the umbrella shaft. "I see I have to do this the hard way." Metal rang on metal as Monkey forced Lou back against one wall. "You go on ahead," Monkey said to the others as he watched Lou. "You have to get to the egg before Vatten finishes with it." Mr. Ha hesitated. "We can't leave you." "The egg comes before everything else," Monkey said. "I'll take care of this stink bag." "I hate to say it, but the ape's right." Minstrel slid her body behind the monkeys, leaving a narrow space between her side and the rock wall. "I'll shield the rest of you while you pass." Lou tried to leap around Minstrel to attack the others, but Monkey beat him back. "You'll never leave here alive," Lou said indefinitely. "Bold words when you don't have your pack of hounds with you," Monkey said as he swung his staff up. "How are you in a real fight?" Tom cringed but kept on moving as Lou's sword clanged against Monkey's staff. For all of his confidence, Monkey seemed to be having a hard time, for Lou was giving as good as he got. "Will he be okay?" Tom asked Minstrel as he joined them. The dragon shook her head. "I don't know. They're evenly matched." Tom glanced at the ceiling. "I don't have enough room to spread my wings and help him," Minstrel said. Mr. Ha hesitated and then shook his head. "We don't have any time anyway." "But," Tom began to protest. "It can't be helped," Mr. Ha said grimly. "Monkey understands." "Don't you die on us," Minstrel called to the ape, "or I'll be really mad at you then." Chapter 11. Oh, we got a little thing. Guys, we can read it. The Poe has the body of a white horse and black tail. From its forehead sprang a horn. From its mouth a tiger's fangs, and from its feet tiger claws. It calls like a drum, and it feeds upon tigers and leopards. From its hinds is proof against even weapons. Oh, and from its hide is proof against even weapons. Shen Hai Xing. And that's those little side notes that are at the top to describe the new evil character that's about to come up. So I think you can guess what's going to come up. Mr.
Huh was first down the stairways, with Minstrel still bringing up the rear. The sounds of Monkey's deadly battle followed them as they continued deeper into Vatten's lair. In small niches on either side of the passage were statues a foot high. Time had worn away at their features so that they seemed hardly more than cylinders with odd lumps here and there, covered with patches of algae and moss. Then the steps began to twist and turn, and each bend Mr. Huh first tested the clammy air for scents, but he found no lurks. When they finally reached the bottom of the steps, they found themselves facing a wide tunnel. Here, the lamps were grotesque heads from which masses of long hair billowed above four faces as they stared in different directions. Flames flickered from their stretched mouths like tongues. Forming the walls and ceilings were smooth slabs of stone in which blue streaks rolled like waves over the white surface. Filthy water hid the floor. A few feet away, the nine-headed serpent had been carved crudely into the wall in a clumsy attempt to claim the tunnel for Vatten. But it seemed ancient, far older than the passage above. Minstrel craned her neck over their shoulders and stared over one of the lamps. "Do you recognize it?" The tiger gazed at the lantern.
"No, but I've heard once of a family who were almost as powerful as Kung Kung. In the Great Rebellion, they broke faith with the Empress and did not come to her aid." Tom knew there was only one Empress in Mr. Hu's mind, Nuk Hei. "But neither did they join Kung Kung. Instead, they tried to claim that they were neutral, waiting to see who would be victorious. When the Rebellion was crushed, she punished them by joining them into a creature known as the Watcher. They were called that because it was impossible to surprise them. And so, they were set to guard the most important treasures."
"Let's hope that the creature is dust by now," Minstrel said, uneasy. "From what I've heard, the Watcher, we would not want to meet." Remembering his mistake at the mansion, Tom asked, "Well, what about the floor, guys?" Minstrel lowered her tail into the water and tested the depth. "It only seems about a foot deep." Tom wrinkled his nose. "It smells like sewer water, too."
"It will take a month to clean myself," he said as he eyed the scummy surface.
But they already felt as if something was gathering on their bodies. Something did not want them there. And they felt its anger pressing heavily against them from all sides. Yet, there was no challenge to be seen. "It's just too... it's... I don't know. It's just too easy." Squatting, Tom poked at the first floor slab, but it seemed solid enough. Mr. Hu looked thoughtfully.
"Well done, Master Thomas. You've learned to be cautious, and I stand corrected. We should make sure that there aren't any booby traps. We should throw a rock ahead of us."
However, though they were on a staircase of stone, there was nothing they could pry loose. The tiger turned to Sydney.
"What have you got in your pockets?"
"What do you need, partner?" The rat reached into his fur eagerly. "I'll give you a good discount."
"Anything so long as it's heavy," Mr. Huss said, holding out a paw.
"Oh no, you'll damage the merchandise," Sidney tried to back up a step, but Minstrel caught him by scuffing off his neck and lifted him into the air.
Mr. Huss wriggled his claws.
"It's either the merchandise or you, Sidney."
Sidney kicked his hind paws back and forth idly. "Well, I've been meaning to hold a fire sale. I guess I could give some stuff up. It's for you, Mr. H." The rat dug around in his fur.
"No, it's already promised to a customer, and that's for my mother's birthday."
"Sydney!" Mr. Hu rumbled dangerously. Okay, Sydney said. Using only two paws, he hauled out a brass spittoon, adding, "But you're going to have to explain to my mother." Mr. Hu took into both of his paws.
"Where do you keep all this stuff, Sydney?"
Sydney folded his four legs together. "You've got your magic, and I've got mine."
"I think you're part pack rat," Mr. Huss said, and dropped the spittoon in front of them.
It splashed, bonging against the floor, then making waves as it slid through the filthy water across the stone floor. Reassured, they stepped down in the sinking liquids. Mr. Huss shuddered.
"There's mud oozing between my hind claws."
Even so, he barely led the way as far as the spittoon.
"Oh, my poor baby!"
Sidney started to pick up the spittoon to clean it, but the tiger took it from him.
"We still need it," Mr. Huss said.
Sidney covered his eyes with his paw.
"I can't watch all this abuse."
They repeated the process several times. On the fifth throne, the spittoon sank without a trace. "Uh-oh," Sidney said, putting a paw over his mouth. "There's a hole there." They edged up to the gap of the floor, and Minstrel tested it with her tail. "It's only a couple of yards across."
"Now for the other side," Mr. Huss said. "What else do you have in you, Sidney?"
You want more?" Sidney said.
Tom could have sworn that the rat had grown pale beneath his fur. "We have to make sure that the path is safe," Mr. Huss said firmly.
If you weren't my partner," Sidney mumbled, but he handed over a can of caviar.
When the other side proved safe, Mr. Hunt nodded to Minstrel. "We need to cross over on you."
"I'm not a bridge," Minstrel said. "It's for the good of the cause," Sidney said, poking the dragon in the side.
"Are you going to let Sidney set an example for you?" Mr. Hunt asked. Grumbling, the dragon stretched her body over the gaping hole and they scrambled onto the next slab. There were two more booby traps before they had reached a large, low ceiling chamber, stainy with bumpy walls. It took a moment for Tom to realize the bumps were skulls, so old that they were brown with age. Some of them looked human, but many were just of odd sizes and shapes that could have been anything. Water dripped down them in a slow trickle, streaking them in green and blue oranges with minerals.
All right, that's going to do it. Thanks for joining us. Listen to the show weekly on VoiceAmericaKids.com. Contact us on voiceamericakids@yahoo.com. We'll answer any response. I'm Christopher Froelich. Keep it right here because I know you love it. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You've been listening to Bookworm on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll be here at the same time next week, so be sure to tune in. Now, how many books do you think you can get through before our next show?
Listening to Voice America Kids, real talk radio.
The future of online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.